The Lollipop Guild only listens to WGXC Accra 90.7 FM.
Oh, honey, I want to go upstate where the 20-somethings are covering themselves with their canvases in their car to keep warm during those cold summer nights.
I want to go up to that Rev where that Jerry is. Wow, he's a real pistol. He's going to tell me a funny story and then get a biscotti from the old sliding glass case.
Why do you sound like a pirate, honey?
Oh, when I go to Hudson, I feel like a pirate.
Oh, honey, I love seeing all the people frolicking in the fields with their mushroom patch.
Oh, I get some of those mushrooms and get over to the St. Charles and start one of them whoop-de-doo parties.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday from 9:30 to midnight.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
Okay, good morning. You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acro. This is Now Boarding the Travel Show with Jim and Dan. And actually, today we have no Jimmy, but we have a Mr. Matt Moody joining us from Hawaii.
Morning, D-Ron. How are you doing?
Okay, Moody. We are doing great. You were a little loud there, but that's good. That's exactly the volume that we wanted.
I'll dial it back.
That's okay. You don't have to, okay? You're at complete free reign. You're released like a wild horse. Or as Jimmy has just run with the new title of you, the Hawaiian Lion.
All right, I'm ready to go.
Okay, all right. So Moody, I have to say, last we spoke was early November, the first weekend of November on this program, and Jimmy had not, my co-host, he had not informed us that he would be absent, so. That's a big surprise, but what we are going to do is what we typically do when he's not on the air with us is we'll dedicate a segment where we talk behind Jimmy's back on the program. Okay?
Perfect.
So that's going to arrive some point between now and noon, at least on the the eastern seaboard of the United States goes. What time is it there in, where are you, Honolulu?
Well, about 20 minutes west of Honolulu, but yeah, bright and early, 6 a.m., sir.
Okay, very good. And so everything has been all quiet in way of Hawaii. Any notable issues to discuss, any excitement, anything of note that otherwise us on the mainland would be not readily informed of?
Nothing political or important. This is super trivial but kind of funny. Last week, Hawaii native Bruno Mars came back and did 3 shows.
Okay.
And literally, I mean, you know, it's a small island. There's only like 3 highways just kind of connecting the populated areas of the island. And people were like getting out of work early in preparation of the Bruno Mars concerts. Like, they knew that the traffic was just going to be shut down.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like, 35, he did concerts Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 35,000 people each day. So,
wow.
Yeah, just kind of shut down the island last weekend.
Wow. So, but, I did not know that he was a Hawaiian native. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's, musical mainstream superstar, and man, he's a force to reckon with. He's almost on par with what you bring.
Almost, yeah. He's got to keep working on it.
Okay. All right. So I have to say, November's been quite the full month of holidays, or at least civic holidays that we have been experiencing in the last, well, one coming up, obviously, and we'll discuss that. But I have to say, as you are part of the military, and I don't know if you qualify into the category of veteran yet, but one day you will be, I would like to say thank you, Moody, for your contribution in way of your service. And yeah, I hope you have many Veterans Days to come that you can celebrate.
Oh, I appreciate that, Dan. Yeah, thank you very much.
You got it. You got it.
Veterans Day here has been awesome. I mean, it's always awesome. But in Virginia, I was working mission hours where we were working like 24/7. We didn't always get days off for holidays. Mm-hmm. Here, I do. And we got a 4-day weekend last week for Veterans Day. And my birthday is the day after Veterans Day.
Oh, my goodness. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So for the 2 years I've been on this island, I've just gotten my birthday off because it coincided with Veterans Day. So that was kind of awesome.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happens in way of celebration events in Hawaii for Veterans Day? Anything that's a parade? Or is there a flotilla in the harbor? What occurs?
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't think I've ever heard that term before in my life. Flotilla, I don't know what that is. yeah, I know, okay. I know that they had events all over the island. They'll do where they'll have like free meals given out or maybe something on the base. I didn't, like I said, it was my birthday, so I went out to dinner with some friends and stuff, but I didn't do any of those things. But yeah, they had stuff all over the island, fireworks and stuff like that.
Okay, so this Veterans Day, which obviously had its pure roots for Armistice Day, recognized throughout the world, was the 100th anniversary, as I'm sure you well know. Jimmy probably didn't know. He probably won't ever grasp that. But 100 years marking the very day of the end of World War I, the Great War. And that's incredible. I mean, obviously, time marches on and there's going to be anniversaries every day for a given event. But, you know, that's amazing. If thinking way of the 20th century and just, you know, 100 years ago, it was that. And obviously, yeah. World War II came about, 20 years after World War I. And I mean, a lot of history. And during at least your rather young age of, what did you just turn, 30?
31.
31, okay. You know, you were born at a time where there were some World War I veterans still around in the U.S. And that's, you know, it's amazing that we can have stories told, firsthand accounts and primary sources from such a historic, well in the past, but such a momentous historic period. And that's interesting. I don't know if there's many World War I veterans around. I doubt that there's any left now throughout the world.
No,
there might be.
I don't think that there can be.
There might be. I mean, if you were 17 in 1918, I guess, they'd be 117 years old.
That would make you 107. So, I mean, yeah, God bless if they're still out there. God bless for sure.
But obviously, World War II,
tall order.
The World War II veterans are a dying breed as well. You know, I think the youngest would be, about 18 in 1945? So I'm not going, maybe 90 years old, 91, something like that.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we grew up with a lot of World War II veterans because, you know, mostly at our age, say when we could remember or have a conversation. At least I remember having conversations with a couple, whether it was in a barber shop or just family friends that, you know, in their 70s while being 10 years old for my given age. But now, you know, I don't know how many are left in way of U.S. population or what, but it's not, you know, unfortunately, as life goes, their lives are coming, you know, that generation of veteran for World War II is coming quickly to a to an end.
Yeah, no, definitely. Maybe. I mean, I'm in an area where they congregate year to year because of, you know, Pearl Harbor, what happened here. So December 6th, they have the yearly memorial services and everything. And I don't know if you're familiar with Arizona, but mm-hmm. the Arizona Memorial here and the survivors of that attack. And I don't know the exact number, Dan, but I know that the number is getting very small. And so yeah. I know that it's probably under 5.
Wow.
But yeah, you know what you were saying, you just have to cherish the stories that they can tell. And
yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you're following in the footsteps of many a hero. So you know,
no, I
have
don't know
to,
about that, but
oh, come on. I mean, I was thinking before the broadcast, because of what your contributions to this program and the way that you have sacrificed your time while you've had all of your other commitments, your you know, your big commitments, I was thinking that Jimmy and I would announce a t-shirt with you on it, like it's a half profile, half frontal image of your face looking at the moon, but it just says Hawaiian Lion and WGXC on it. It might be a fundraiser.
I don't. Sales of that t-shirt would be in the ones. I think we might get up to 4, and I'd buy 3 of them.
That would be great. I mean, we could give tattoos if someone's a real diehard fan. We'll see.
I don't even think I would get that tattoo.
All right, maybe we'll just have to ink it on someone while they're sleeping, something like that. All right. So I'm glad that we warmed you up, Moody. It was trying before this episode began. You were just hovering on I don't know, in a bubble of sleep and being awoke. I don't know where you were at that stage conscious.
I'm not a morning person, so you know. On Sunday morning, getting up. It's,
now, do you drink coffee? Do you usually have coffee in the morning or tea? Or
I don't actually. No, okay. I've never wanted to become dependent on it. I know so many people that, you know, that time old saying, like, I haven't had my morning cup of coffee. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never wanted to get to that.
Mm-hmm. And those people are just cranked, you know, like, just entirely cranky and not in a good state without their caffeine.
I mean, not that my solution is any better. I just kind of struggle for a couple hours, but I guess I don't have to be dependent on it.
So I drink coffee, but I'm not dependent on it. I, in fact, I went to Stewart's right outside of Hudson yesterday, and my lips were chapped, so I decided not to have something that would seemingly exhaust and dry my lips further, which would be hot coffee. So I just got a cold, unsweetened Stewart's tea, Moody, and it was great. So, but I didn't need it. I don't, you know, I might have about 3 cups a day, but never am I dragging or necessitating.
you said you're not dependent on coffee, but you have 3 cups a day.
Yeah.
I don't know if that phrase is complete. Okay, maybe you're saying you don't need it to start you going, but
right, it's like
there's some dependency going on.
All sure. Right. All right. So, Moody, I'm getting quite exhausted for directing the agenda on this broadcast. And I know that Jimmy is not ever going to step up to the plate. He's somewhere in Korea right now. I doubt that we're going to have a surprise appearance by Jimmy. But is there any agenda item that you would like to mention so that we can steer this broadcast? Or is it simply I take it and you just contribute?
Well, I mean, I did mention 2 weeks ago that I'll be stopping in Berlin. This time when I go to see Kinga, it's going to be a little less travel dependent. You know, last time I went there, we were hopping all over the country. I had never been to I've never been to Europe at all. So she wanted to, you know, show me around. But this time we just want to take the time to have some quality time over the holidays with her family. So the only city I'm going to see is Berlin. I'm flying in and out of there. But I haven't done the research yet, so I don't have a lot to talk about. I don't know what we're going to do there yet.
You know, sometimes it's better that you're going into a destination, a place that you lack information and you're ignorant of. In some ways, I think that is more of a revealing and exciting experience. I think,
I agree.
Jimmy, I think he likes to have a certain amount of knowledge going in, which I do too, you know, just in way of if there are certain neighborhoods that, you know, we might traverse or we might not want to go due to just seeming lack of excitement or, you know, unsafe perhaps, but I don't know. I've never really had that as a criteria. However, I think just being amidst the dynamics of a given place and just absorbing it firsthand without having a previous bias that you might have developed with information beforehand, I think it's revealing. But
definitely.
I mean, you might want to, I don't know. Kinga probably will know much more than you do by way of getting through Berlin, but I think you're a competent traveler.
I don't know why you think that, but I appreciate the compliment either way. Well, going back to what you were saying, it kind of just all depends on what kind of traveler, you know, people are. Some people, they go to a city, like, they feel like they have to knock out the big ticket items, you know.
Sure.
Whatever, you know, they have a certain, like, we have to do this, I only have 2 days, we have to see this museum, this landmark, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care about all that stuff. I'm more of, like, what you were saying, like, the real feel of a place, like,
yeah,
the, you know, the most well-known restaurants, the less beaten paths. So
what I like to do most when I'm in an urban environment is and it's you know, travel, I like to simply walk to the point where I'm just too tired, and that's what I do when I'm in given cities or areas. And I think, you know, covering just all those footsteps, covering all that ground, you're completely immersed. And there was even the time in London with Jimmy that I had him, I made him walk. I think we only had transit by way of, well, we, of course, to get into given neighborhoods, we might have taken the underground, the subway. Mm-hmm. But really, we didn't take many cabs. And Jimmy was, he didn't think that he could do that, covering all of that ground. But I didn't stick him, I more so carroted him by way of saying, Jimmy, the next pub is around the corner. Jimmy, we only have three more blocks to a pub. And he overcame it. And he just put one step in front of the other.
You're a motivator, Dan. You got to find out what it is in people that's going to keep them going. And yeah, with Jimmy, That's a surefire way.
But he, you know, previous to that, I don't think he, you know, he would not have walked that if he were alone. And I think it was, despite him saying that he has a negative regard for London, I think, well, who knows? Maybe he associates London with having walked too much. But, you know, he saw a lot more than he would have seen if not for doing that. And I don't know. How do you and your girlfriend do in way of deciding if you're going to go somewhere? Is she usually leading, or are you making a decision as well, or is she coaxing you, or are you guys pretty in unison?
I feel like usually answers come to me super fast, and I think there's multiple facets answers to that question. So, you know, just naturally, I'm not a natural decision maker. So I would say, and especially in Poland, you know, that's her, that was all her show for sure. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, she just,
I like that saying, Lodi.
No,
you made a great line. That was all her show for sure. Man, you're good. You're a good talker.
But yeah, no, she, I mean, and she, you could tell that she was thriving in it. Like, she loved to, because I had told her, you know, how many friends do we have? And you were just talking about how you guys went on a multi-leg. I know you've been on multiple multi-leg trips of Europe, and you never went to Poland.
You know?
So I think she kind of really appreciated that opportunity to show Poland to me. And I had told her, you know, that I want to get more people to go there, because I just feel like it's an untapped vacation spot, or it's very historical too. So
sure, yeah,
she relished the opportunity to just drag me around the country. So that's how, I mean, when we were in New York, I made decisions, but I more of like gave her like a list of, like, we were just like researching stuff together online. I was like, here's 10, 15 things to do. We got to cut that down to like 5. What do you want to do?
Sure. So. Okay. Good. No, I'm glad to hear that. And I hope, when is it exactly that you are going to be in Berlin?
I'll be there on the 20th to the 23rd of December. And then I fly out I'll be there on the 5th of January as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic. I hope it's the experience you're wishing for. And yeah, you'll have a lot to report come the new year.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to take off another country, another city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For sure.
You're going to be on Jimmy's back, as tacking and mapping goes. You're going to be catching him with countries.
He just texted the other day that he's on like, what, 27 or something? Crazy.
That's terrible that he rubs it in your face. He boasts about that.
He did. I don't think it was a braggadocious thing, just a heads up.
All right. So Moody, back to just speaking about November, and I mean, we've had Election Day. That was a civic, I think it was, I think schools had off around us here in Hudson for Election Day, public schools. I think they did. I could be wrong. And then, of course, for Veterans Day, and then the next one upcoming, Thanksgiving, of course. But are there any Hawaiian, special days in Hawaii, like that the indigenous people have, or is there anything distinctly Hawaiian by way of a given day?
I'm going to fail you on this
one. Okay, that's fine. That's okay.
I don't want to say yes or no, but I will say that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So you're, completely demonstrate you as an ignorant American, or just non-Hawaiian native residing in the island now. What's that called? What's the term?
Howley? Is that what you're
saying? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm all the way there. I mean, there are people that are stationed here for 3 years that don't try one item of food. They don't do one hike. They don't do anything.
Really?
So,
there's hiking?
A lot of people. What?
People actually don't do that? They don't go hiking when they're stationed there?
Oh, there's quite a bit of people in the military, no matter where they're stationed. They don't do anything. I mean, I'm not a big hiker. I've only been on a few, but I've at least tried a couple. But
so if you're stationed in another country in the future, you're going to believe yourself to be one who goes beyond the military grounds and the housing and
absolutely.
Okay. I mean,
you know this because you've been to Europe. It's so the public transport is so, and it interconnects the country so easily that you can just travel around for a weekend. You could probably hit two or three countries.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Depending where you are. Anywhere where you are. I mean, the public transit is, as you say, all so well organized and laid out, and it's such a great infrastructure item that where we are, it's not necessarily in any extent that organized or defined or accessible. But
that's kind of an interesting discussion. I think you would find this interesting because Jimmy had texted me and Spada about some bullet train that he was taking, and they were just commenting on how the public transportation in other countries is better. And I don't think that it's better because we just can't make it better. It's all about gas here.
Yeah.
Like in other countries, in Poland, very few people own cars. The price of gas, first of all, they do it by liter. It's not by gallon.
Sure.
And it was like the equivalent of $5 per liter.
What?
So we're talking like $20.
$20, yeah, 3.89.
It's crazy. So I feel like that's more of the reason why their infrastructure is so public transit focused, because people aren't going to have cars.
Yeah, it certainly detracts people from utilizing what we utilize mostly,
mm-hmm.
by way of movement.
So, yeah, it's just a different ball game over there.
Yeah, I think they also have a heavy commitment by way of their government funding and subsidizing those other public transit networks. So. Mm-hmm. That's and it's also that it seems that it's more manageable to have those rail networks than it is in the United States. I don't know. It's just we're so vast. But obviously, if you were to compare the continent of Europe, you can make the similarity of size. But historically, it did not develop at the same way that European cities were connected. It's interesting. But Mood, if you're not, say, stationed in Europe, I hope that you would, and you're stationed somewhere else in the world, I hope you would have that same sentiment that you would go out and explore and discover.
Definitely.
Yeah, okay. And I'm afraid that if Jimmy somehow got conscripted into the military, I don't know how much you would be exploring off the grounds, but
speaking of world wars, if Jimmy was in the military, he may be leading the charge into the third one here.
Whoa!
I feel like...
wow. Okay. I thought I made some crazy comments. Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, man, he can get. You've traveled with him, D-Rong. You know how he can inspire and get a following.
Why is that for bad? Why are we wanting a war, Moody? why? Just because someone inspires doesn't make them a violent and hostile and War.
All right. Okay. It was just a joke. It was just a okay. joke.
All right.
Well, I just think it would be very interesting to see Jimmy in a military environment, for sure.
It would be. It would be. But look. All right. Hopefully that doesn't happen any time in our lifetime or our children's or generations to come. Hopefully the last world war was the last.
Definitely.
We'll see, Mood. We'll see. It's a volatile world out there. And the population of the world is only accelerating. And we have to cooperate. We live in a society, which means that we have to interact with people, and therefore we have to have cooperation. So hopefully your task is to make the world a bit safer. And when we're traveling, we're not we're not committing any sentiments that are making us viewed as hostile or negative, and it does not create or foment any sort of energy that would have people want to destroy our society or destroy our lifestyles. I think that's important.
Oh, definitely.
And I think Jimmy is a largely more so than not, he's an ambassador of goodwill when he's traveling.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he's a bit materialist, and he centers his society in way of imbuing and consuming, but he's definitely a portrayal of what his nickname is, and that is the human element. And he
so it seems that we've gotten into that segment that you talked about earlier about talking about Jimmy.
No, Jimmy's a great he connects people. He certainly does. And
he
that's
definitely does.
And when you're traveling, I think it's if you're traveling with someone like that, I think it's a win-win for almost everyone. For you as a traveler, for you as a for those who might just be residing in their locales. Definitely it's positive energy.
I didn't get to go to Asia. He had invited me many times, and we got so close one time that he even almost had this itinerary. And just the way I like to travel, and you touched on this earlier, there was no major cities.
Wow, really?
On this itinerary. That may not be a true statement. We might have had to travel through one, but it was just more focused. Like, he knew that I wanted to experience, the less beaten path. Like, I wanted to, go to a village or a fish market, or just not the main attractions that everybody else piles into.
Right, right.
And waves, so.
So you like doing that when you're in a different place, is going to the market, going to seeing what produce there is or what other?
Absolutely, absolutely.
That's interesting. Yeah, I
think that I experience culture by food. I don't know if that's the correct way, but it's just my first thing that I want to do. Like, what do y'all eat? What do you guys eat in this country? and I want to get the authentic versions of it, not the biggest.
I thought that instead of compliment the Hawaiian Lion T-shirt. WGXC and so when you go to Berlin, you should have it made up with in German saying that. What do you eat in your country?
This is like a picture of me eating a plate of pasta or something.
And in Poland, as long as you're not around her family, Kinga's family, you should wear that as well. It might be cold. You might have to have it embroidered on a vest or something.
I honestly think that they, I think that we've talked about this before, but I think that her family appreciated my willingness to try everything.
Sure.
So I think that's a stereotype of Americans, is that we stick to our chicken tenders and macaroni and cheese.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, Mood, I'm like you. I love experiencing the cuisine of a place, And I'm not a picky eater. I don't think you are either, but we definitely know there's people that are.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes, I do.
And I mean, yeah, it's exciting to try, you know, dishes that you've never had before. And, you know, many times when you're in a different country or region, it's, you know, you're blown away.
Kinga may not forgive me for this, but I don't want to repeat stories on the air, but I don't know if we ever got around to this. Did I ever tell you about the gelatin dish?
No.
That I tried?
No.
Okay, so I don't know what it's called, and I'm not saying it's disgusting or it's gross. I'm just saying that there are things that if it's not in your culture to eat, you may not recognize that it's foreign to you. So I'll start with one that was actually delicious but was weird as all get out. It was a summery fresh salad, we'll say, but it was pasta. Mm-hmm. And it was like chopped up strawberries with yogurt and sugar and then tossed with like noodles.
Okay.
And it was so weird to have noodles with like a sweet cold flavor and texture. It was just it was good. But I was just explaining to her that we have noodles hot and savory. So it's very weird to experience something like that.
Do they not have conventional pasta as we imagine it?
I mean, they do have it. I don't think that Polish cuisine... I don't remember any pasta now that you mention it. They had this potato dish that's kind of similar to gnocchi.
Yep.
But it wasn't really pasta. And then I don't remember having any like traditional pasta. It's more potato and cabbage centric
Sure.
stuff.
Okay.
But anyway, the one dish. are you aware? So gelatin, now I'm not going to get scientific. Maybe you can help me out here, Dion, because I don't know the terms. But if you boil bones, animal bones,
right,
it releases a gelatin,
right?
So there's this dish where that's what they do, and then it's cold gelatin with meat and vegetables in it.
Oh, it's cold.
It's cold. They serve it cold, and so it's just meat byproduct gelatin with chopped up vegetables and meat in it, and they like serve it with vinegar over top.
That's interesting.
And I was a gracious visitor. I didn't want to be rude. And Kinga knew, because she had told me, like, there's something I'm going to make you try that you are not going to like. So she put me on the spot, and I didn't want to be rude. So, of course, I tried it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just so weird.
Yeah, that is strange. I mean, I'm glad that you tried it. But, yeah, good for you that you did.
And I'll be trying it again in a month when I go there for Christmas because I'm not going to be rude.
So what is the dish that you most loved? Was there a particular one that you had out or that her family had made a couple times or that you remember that was just fantastic? Were there a couple
we went to... there was a couple. There's a couple. So I'll start with Bigos, which wasn't the first time I had it because Kinga had made it for my family in New York. It's a slow simmered cabbage based stew. It translates to Huntsman stew, and they basically, when it started hundreds of years ago, it was just like whatever the hunter got that day or that week, that's what went into the stew. And now it's just multiple different sausages, pork. So that's excellent. Homemade pierogies I had were excellent. There was one thing that I wanted to say to you
I'm blanking on it. That's okay. You'll get it. Now I'll tell you one of my experiences. that was a very reluctant consumption for a meal. And this was when I was in Morocco with the homestay family in Rabat. It must have been a Sunday. And we're having a family meal together. And we're in the center of the house with the columns around us, whatnot. You know, that open-aired central location. That's very common for older architecture design for Moroccan homes. I forget the exact term applied for that. Anyway, we're sitting, and all of a sudden, with all the other dishes around us, we're all on cushions and whatnot. I don't know who produced it. It must have been one of the brothers. Produced this hot milk like yogurt in a cup, and then they began passing it around with everyone sipping from that cup. And I didn't take it. I said I didn't want it. And I might have offended some of them, but I ate just about everything that they ever put in front of me, but I really was I was too reluctant and too on brave to have that communal cup.
And that was it about the hot yogurt, or was it about the germ sharing of one cup, or combination of it all.
I think I had recently been sick as well, and I just you know, after three and a half months of cyclic sickness, and just knowing how the sickness, well, how given bouts were derived, I did not want to really take that yogurt milk that was hot. It just was kind of unpleasant to think of, and then doubly yeah. So with the everyone sipping from it. So that was interesting.
When you say everyone, like, how many people are we talking here?
No, probably 9, 10.
Oh, okay, that's quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So, that was interesting. But I didn't take it, Moody. Man, but we had everything in Morocco. I mean, if you're there for 4 months and you're with a homestay family, it's not like you're limited to Velveeta and Chef Boyardee. It's it's a bit more beyond that.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, great couscous, great tagine, stew-like dish, and then vegetables, very much roasted or whatnot, and then different meats that were unidentifiable to me.
Probably better off that way.
Yeah, but man, there were many foreign and interesting and unknown dishes that I did consume, but that was it was great food, no way did I think most of us in the program that we were studying there, the study abroad program, I don't think anyone was coming in. It wasn't a program for the on brave cuisine consumer, you know.
I can imagine.
I think most people had had a little degree of adventure within them doing that program. So I don't know. I mean, I would feel offended too if I made a dish and someone who was visiting from regionally visiting from somewhere else in the U.S. they didn't want to partake in sharing the meal, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, other specific cultures in the world have very specific things that they can get offended for, and that just might have been one of their, like, things. Like, when they're offering you that drink, that might be a ritual or whatever, where, you know, you got to take it. But I understand your hesitation. So I have a story. It's not related in travel in any fashion, but
it's okay.
It always gets laughed, so I don't know. I'll leave it up to you.
No, no, you go ahead. You you take it away. It doesn't have to be mood. We can, you know, you tie it in
well,
so
no,
beautifully.
It ties
so
in because of the communal
that's fine.
Sharing.
Hey, take it away.
So in Virginia, a couple of years ago, I was with my ex and her family. They go down to Nag's Head, the what is that called in North Carolina?
The Outer Banks?
The Outer Banks, thank you. Yeah, they go there every year. That's one of their main vacation spots. And they're kind of wealthy. We went to some nice seafood restaurants. One afternoon, we were at one of these. And it's like 10 of us, and we were sitting at one end of the table with her elderly aunt and uncle. If not in their 80s, right up next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent people. I love these people. Her uncle has since passed, but this story is just, I've always told it to my family, and it just always makes me laugh. So this restaurant apparently was known for its blue crab like a cream based soup, chowder.
Okay.
Blue crab chowder. And we got a bowl, me and my ex to share. And all of a sudden, I'm a sharer. Like, I'm definitely, when I have something good on my plate, I want everyone at the table, you know, to enjoy that.
Sure.
And a lot of times it works a lot better with something like an appetizer, like French fries or something someone can just grab.
Yeah.
Soup was a new experience for me to share.
Mm-hmm.
And so she starts talking about the soup, and she's like talking to her aunt and uncle, oh, you guys have to try this. And she just like slides the bowl over to them. Mm. And then they both used the one spoon that I was using and put it back in the bowl of chowder.
Mm, yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. Like the soup was so good. I didn't want to like,
order
use
a new
another spoon.
Spoon.
So I just used that spoon.
Okay.
And I was so grossed
Whoa.
Out.
Whoa.
I was so grossed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that is a bit disturbing. What you should have done was just taken the bowl to your lips and proceeded that way.
Like right after they pass it back, it's like, this is too good for a spoon, and just start like slurping it down.
Man, Moody, you just don't want to offend people.
You know,
that's your problem.
I don't want to offend people. I don't. I go miles and miles to not offend people. Sometimes more than often to a fault.
Yeah, it actually detriments you.
Yeah. Like I guarantee you, being in your shoes, I would have drank that hot yogurt.
Oh, I know you would have. But
just out of sheer like fear of uncomfort of the situation.
That's it. Oh, the consequence. Just the negative consequences.
This is some good hot yogurt. Can I get some more of this?
Jeez. So I mean that was Morocco was that was an experience just in food alone. And just the behavior and just there's so many stories that are just there within. I mean, my one buddy just, he would try everything. Camel meat, brains. I mean, he was, he just wanted to have as much as he possibly could. And there were a couple of people in the program like that. And, you know, as time went on, they all appeared very much emaciated. Because they just got their stomachs got wrecked by way of having something foreign or being way way overexposed. But finally we found what was the most resemblant place to Walmart where we could access more packaged goods.
Product.
So we did find that as well, but no. In reality, everyone survived. it was just an enduring and trying time with people's health and whatnot. But yeah. So, I mean, I hope in Germany you have a couple new dishes, Moody. I don't know any. I mean, have you ever been to a German restaurant? Have you ever been to?
I've been to German restaurants. I've been to German themed restaurants, which I know that sounds like the same thing, but I feel like it's not. I feel like I've been to like theme parks where they'll have like German food, you know, like Disney World, and then I've also been to German restaurants. But I'm such a big fan of sausage.
Yep.
That's usually what I stick to. I haven't tried much else than I've tried quite a few variations of German sausage, but not much else.
Much largely, you know, it's not a very different cuisine than what we're accustomed to in our society in the U.S.
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's not anything that's way out there. So
yeah, nothing of what you were just mentioning. I don't think I'll find too much exotic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could go out on a limb and, you know, I'm sure that there's Berlin, I would imagine, is a very multicultural city. And
definitely.
Actually, I would imagine that there'd be a massive amount of Turkish cuisine. So,
it's funny you bring that up because that wasn't the thing that I couldn't remember, but it is one of the things I loved in Poland was kebab.
Mm-hmm.
Doner kebab. I don't know if you're familiar.
Not really. Go ahead.
So it's just another way of, so it's similar to Greek gyros, how they have the lamb on a spinning spit, you know, slow roasting.
Yes.
So it's just a combination of that. It's slow roasted meat, and then it's with bread and cabbage. It's just put together. Mm. It doesn't have tzatziki or pita. It's just a different kind of bread, but it's all the same kind of idea, just altered a little bit.
Uh huh.
Okay. But it is incredible.
Yeah.
It is so good.
No,
so
I,
good.
So I mean, if I'm not telling you or your girlfriend what to do. But yeah, perhaps, you know, a Turkish, stall or a Turkish, restaurant or neighborhood might be interesting to go to be exposed to. So, yeah. Anyway,
yeah, no, absolutely. I'm definitely open to it.
Yeah. That's what I would do. I think my girlfriend would too. So, I think it's going to be an adventure mood. So look, keeping on the format of food, what we have coming up next week is one of the most readily identifiable food days in our culture, and that, of course, is Thanksgiving, Moody. And I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
Sir.
I want to wish Jimmy a happy Thanksgiving, and everyone listening to WGXC. Those who aren't, I'm not going to wish you any goodwill at all. But anyway, that's false. Completely, completely false. But that's
a small club.
Yeah, that's what's great about listening to this station. You get these inclusive perks, like being wished a happy day. You know, Moody.
Extremely exclusive club. If you're fans of ours, we wish you the most warm, happy feeling. If you're not listening, nah, good luck.
All right, so
good luck.
So what are your plans for Thanksgiving? You're on a military base. You're not necessarily just completely at the military base all the time. So what's do you have to work that day? Are you having a meal at the mess hall? What's the what are your plans?
So people in the military, they get used to holidays being away from their family, and we congregate.
Right.
So Friendsgiving, I guess you would say, but in a more military way. You know, we know that each other's going to be alone, and we all stick together. So I'm going to a friend's house. She's never prepared a turkey. I did my first one last year, so I'm actually going shopping with her today at some point to get the stuff that she needs, and then I'll thaw it at my house and brine it over the next couple of days. I'll start brining it on Wednesday and go from there. Help her cook. I love to cook. Mm-hmm. I love to, especially the high profile items of the meal. Everybody will be, who made the turkey? If it's good, I'll be like, oh, I definitely did. If it's
nice,
not, I tried to help out.
That's great. So what are your, okay, top three dishes on Thanksgiving? What are they, Moody?
I'm a tried and true classics kind of fella here.
Okay.
Definitely just turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes.
Nice.
I gotta have it.
I could
rattle off a top 10 for you. But.
Sure, and I think that's legitimate. And I think it's wrong for me to limit someone by saying they're only their top three, because, I mean, yeah. Cranberry sauce, asparagus, sweet potatoes, let's see, beets,
green bean casserole.
Sure.
Top one for me.
Yeah. I mean, some hors d'oeuvre appetizers before that mood, you know, olive trays and whatever, whatnot. And then, of course, and I don't know if you are a master of this, but there's always what follows the main dishes. And that, of course, is our pies or whatever else by way of dessert. So do you have a top two dessert dish?
I just have a top one, but it's funny that we're talking about this because we were just having a debate at work. And when you're in the military, there's a lot more people are from all over the place. So the top pies in this debate were pecan, sweet potato, a lot of people from the South that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
For me, us being from New York, one of the top two apple producers in the country, it's always apple pie.
Amen.
Always. Always apple pie.
Yeah. Yeah, apple pie. I'd say apple and pumpkin. I am very conventional, and that's what I would say as well.
Same.
Yeah.
Apparently, for some of these people in the South,
pecan.
Someone said that apple pie was their favorite, and they were like, "You have apple pie on Thanksgiving?"
Is that what they said?
Yeah. Like they were like surprised.
Whoa.
I can understand why.
No, like, you can't understand, and you shouldn't be willing to understand.
Let me finish my thought. Like, pumpkin pie is a seasonal pie.
Yeah.
So I think that's why they were saying, like, apple pie on Thanksgiving. Like, pumpkin pie is more seasonal. Mm. But apple pie is just year-round. You can have it whenever.
Yeah.
But it's just what I want on Thanksgiving is always.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Man alive. No, that's very interesting, you know. But I think New England and the Northeast, we do have a we certainly have an argument for dictating and putting people in place in other parts of our country by saying what Thanksgiving meal should be, being that we grew up only
we were here first.
that far away, so close to the first Thanksgiving. So if you have to win the argument, go dirty, Moody, and
but I feel like
you're
I feel
justified.
Like if we were making that claim, D-Ron, we'd have to be like eating like goose and like raw cornmeal or whatever they had back then.
All right. Well, we don't have to be entire purists, Moody. I think that we can we'll just win the day by just by arguing as loud as we can.
Geographical history.
Jeez. So now I am very happy that it's only been you and I on this broadcast. Not that I would not have wanted some other guests from the outside to come on. I know that Tommy Sharp, he's going to be making an appearance, hopefully next broadcast or something. But look, we took control and we sailed magnificently without Jimmy. This was fantastic, Moody. I appreciate it. Everyone listening today appreciates it. And we have 20 seconds. You can say hello, goodbye, whatever you want. And you have 10 seconds.
Okay, as always, I just want to shout out to Kinga, and I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Great.
Take care.
Everyone, have a great upcoming week. Have a great Sunday, everyone in America and